This morning we continue our series of sermons in the Gospel of Luke. We turn together to chapter 8. We have already considered the parable of the sower. We noticed last Lord's Day that perhaps a better title for this parable is the parable of the hearers. As we notice that the focus of the Lord Jesus Christ is not simply on the sower himself, but is specifically in the kinds in the different kinds of soils. And we notice that each one of those soils are a way in which people hear the preaching of Christ's gospel and how they react to it. The Lord Jesus continues now in this next group of verses, as we consider verses 16 to 21, to develop the ideal of hearing God's word, of hearing the gospel. He continues to develop the same idea, and now he will press upon our hearts that while hearing is important, hearing alone is not enough. Hearing is very, very important, but we need to do more than hearing, and that's where the Lord Jesus then is leading us and those whom he was preaching to at this time. So let us turn now our attention to Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 21. This is the word of the Lord, holy, inerrant, and inspired. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel, or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whomever has, to him more will be given. And whomever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, we thank you for your word and for the words of your Son, our King, Lord, and Savior. And as we come before your feet seeking instruction, Lord, we pray, give us understanding. Remove the blindness of our eyes so that we may see the beauty of your law. Lord, help us not only to learn this morning, not only to hear attentively, but help us, Lord, to be doers of what we hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For this past 2 weeks, social media has been invaded by pictures of kids going back to school. As I look at my Facebook feed, I am very glad to see either homeschoolers back in the kitchen table or back in their basement doing their homeworks and their course studies. But I'm also glad to see several with backpacks going into their schools. And everybody's happy. Everybody's excited in those pictures. And a really true hope, desirely hope, that that's a reflex of what's going on in the heart. They're enjoying their time back in school. And it's interesting, boys and girls, you're probably going to relate to that, that as you're going back to school activities, there is one activity that you ought to be doing all the time, which is paying attention, isn't it? You're supposed to be hearing very well. You're supposed to be listening, perhaps the teacher in front of that dry board or chalkboard, and you're supposed to be very attentive to what that person is speaking unto you, or perhaps as you're, again, sitting at a kitchen table with dad or with mom, you're supposed to be listening very attentively, very carefully to the instructions that you receive. But what happens afterwards? Because as you're listening, afterwards coming something that sometimes we don't like a lot, do we? It's the exam, the exercises, the testing, isn't it? You open your book and you have all those questions to answer, or perhaps those arithmetic exercises to resolve. You know that not only learning is important, but also doing what you have learned is crucial. You see, basically, every learning process is resumed under these two steps. First one is hearing, and the second one is practicing what you have heard. You see, it's not different in the Christian life. You see, boys and girls and adults who are here this morning, the Lord Jesus, as we look at this passage, requires of us the same process. He demands of us not only an attentive ear, but also a busy hand. Not only an attentive mind, but also a busy life. A life that will engage practically and personally with that what we learn from Him. Hearing is not enough. We need to hear attentively, but we also to be doers of that what we hear. So every time now, boys and girls, that you do your homework, keep that in mind. You're being reminded of what Jesus requires of you. Just as you are doing your exercises in your book, be reminded that Christ requires of you that you be not only a hearer, but also a doer of His will. That's exactly what we're taught here in this passage as we consider verses 16 through 21 of Luke chapter 8. We learn that to be more than hearers is what Christ demands of us. And it gives us assurance at Jesus' judgment, and it shows membership in Jesus' family. What we learned this morning is that we ought to be more than hearers, for it gives us assurance at Jesus' judgment, and it shows us membership in Jesus' family. As we turn our attention to the text in verse 16, we have this parable that the Lord Jesus says right after explaining the parable of the sower. The Lord Jesus continues to use the same method He was using before, and He gives us this very brief lamp parable. And He says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed." No, basically what the Lord Jesus is saying is that we use something according to its usefulness. This is really, in a nutshell, this is the teaching of this brief parable that we find in verse 16. We use something according to its usefulness. Well, take a look again at the lamp. The usefulness of the lamp is to bring light, is to illumine the ambient, the place where it is placed. It does no good for us to lit a lamp and hide it somewhere. You see, under the couch, just like today, perhaps when we look under the couch, we are surprised with the amount of toys or the amount of food that is under there. Back in Jesus' days, it was not different. Under the couch or under a bed would be a place to keep things that you're not using more anymore, that you're not using frequently anymore. And so what Jesus is saying to us here with this brief parable is that we use things according to its usefulness. There is a demand because of the purpose of something. There is a specific demand for that something. That's why at the end of the verse He says that those who enter may see the light. That's why it is demanded to place the lamp on the lampstand. That's what it's used for. Perhaps you have things that you don't use anymore in your home. Perhaps you sit here today and you have bought an exercise set that is now collecting dust and spider webs in your garage. It's not that's not what that exercise kit was built for. And you didn't buy that for that purpose, just to stay there. You bought it so that you may get fit, so that you may exercise. Or it's like if you would buy a car and just put it in the garage and not drive it around. You see, that's exactly what Jesus is trying to tell us. We use things according to its usefulness, and that's exactly what He is telling us about His Word. The same way a lamp does not fit under the bed, that's not the usefulness of the Word of Christ. That's not the usefulness of the lamp, that is also not the usefulness of the Word of Christ. The Word of Christ is not to be kept in the basement, collecting dust or spider webs. The word of Christ and the teachings of Christ, the teachings that are heard, are not supposed to be kept in a place safe or used only when we want to express our belief or something that we understand or know, or in a theological dispute. The word of Christ, just as the lamp, is supposed to be placed in the lampstand. It is supposed to be used practically in our lives. In other words, the purpose of hearing is not that we have the right answers to questions. It's not that we may learn so that we may exhibit how intellectually prepared we are. The purpose of hearing, just like the purpose of the lampstand, is to exhibit practically in what we do what we have learned. That's the reason why he moves quickly to verse 17. You notice that? After saying that we use things according to its usefulness, he encourages us in that specific teaching with accountability. Accountability. That's what we see in verse 17. He says, for there's nothing secret that will not be revealed. And so as we meditate upon verse 17, we notice that this is a very scatological way of expressing an idea. And by scatological, I mean the last things, the end of days, the day of judgment. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, that's exactly the same language that the Apostle Paul uses to talk about the great day of judgment. That great day of judgment, all things will be revealed. That which may be hidden today, in other words, our hypocrisy, our slackardness, our disregard for Christ's words, although we are hearing it, although it may appear that we are attentive listeners, but as we are not doers of what he does, he's saying there will be an accountability time. There will be an accountability moment in the life and the history of humanity. And he's raising our awareness to that. That's the reason why. Because all will be known. We need to put the word into practice. As a commentator expresses, he says, but they need to put his word into practice. Like the lamp in a house, the truth of the gospel was meant to be put to use for all to see. It was never intended to be hidden away. Christian, is your faith a lampstand? Is your life a lamp in a lampstand? Are you exhibiting that what you have been trained on? You see, one of the ways in which we are encouraged to pursue this life of practice, we find in verse 18. In verse 18, the Lord Jesus tells us that those who are doers of His Word get to know the Bible better. Look at that. Look at what He says in verse 18. He says, therefore, take heed how you hear. You see how the hearing theme continues to be connected? Be careful how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. Now that's a blessed promise, isn't it? For, in other words, the Lord Jesus is saying, by whomever has, is whomever has ears to hear in a proper way, or in other words, for those who are hearing and listening attentively and putting it to practice, really using the word as one uses a lamp, placing it in a lampstand, for them more will be given. In other words, as we put to practice the doctrines that we learn, the content that we learn, the more we go back to the scriptures, the more we understand it. Perhaps that's the reason why so many struggle to understand the Bible. Is that your experience? You listen to sermons, you come to church, you go to Bible studies, you do your devotionals, but sometimes you come across texts that you just can't understand them. Now, obviously, there are things in the Bible that are mysterious, and it's not easy to understand. But you see what the promise of the Lord Jesus gives us, so that we may be doers of His Word. The more we do His Word, the more we understand it. The more we embrace it. The more we capture it in knowledge. So mind and heart, mind and hands, they are joined together. The more we understand, the more we do. And the more we do, the more we understand. But the contrary is also true. Again, look at verse 18. He says, but whoever does not have, in other words, whomever does not have ears to hear, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. Perhaps your translation reads, even what he thinks that he has will be taken from him. So while the New King James and this specific manuscript that was used here places the impression on the person, he seems to have, there is a self-deception there. In other manuscripts may be read that the impression that others have. But regardless, the main point at the end of verse 18 is that regardless of the impressions that may be expressed, regardless of how quiet we are at worship service, how silent and attentive, regardless of how faithful we are in keeping the yearly calendar of Bible reading, if we are not doers, if we are not doing with the Word of Christ the same thing we do with a lamp and a lampstand, he says, that which he has will be taken from him. Whatever knowledge he may have acquired, whatever understanding about Christ and God and about the church and about the world, whatever that he has received, whatever blessing, whatever joy, whatever pleasure, even that will be taken away from him. They are listening, but they're not hearing. A 16th century commentator put it this way. He says, they go to church, they sit through the sermons, they receive the sacraments, they participate in the life of the church, but they are not living the gospel. Eventually, they will be found out, and when that happens, they will be doomed. Do you understand this morning, Christian, what the Lord Jesus requires of us? He has required of us attentive ears. Boys and girls, your King Jesus requires of you all the attention that you can give him in his public worship. But listening is not enough. You need to be doers. You need to be those who are placing what you hear in the lampstand, placing the light of Christ given unto us through his word in the lampstand. That works for you as well, adults. It doesn't matter how well you can articulate theology. It doesn't matter how well you can your performance is when the collision of theological ideas take place. It doesn't matter how well you have mastered the three forms of unity, the standards of faith of this church. But if you're not putting into practice each one of those articles of doctrine and each one of that knowledge that you have acquired from Christ and from his word in your life, the Lord Jesus says, even what you have will be taken away from you. Beloved brothers and sisters, let us be warned this morning, and let us have firm in our mind that the truths of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ are not only to be attentively heard and attentively learned, but they are to be precisely practiced. We are to live according to what we believe. These doctrines, according to the Lord Jesus, were meant to be practical to our lives. So take a look at the creed when we gather together to recite the creed in our evening worship services. Perhaps you have heard criticism to this practice. There are some churches of which this specific practice is not present. It's not a background. Gladly, it is in our church, and perhaps you have heard criticisms to it. Well, it's too tiresome. It's too repetitive. We have done that thousands of times. But perhaps we need to revisit that which an old minister said to his congregation when the congregation was complaining that he was repeating the sermon over and over again. And he said, I will stop repeating the sermon when we begin practicing that. I'll move to sermon number two when you begin practicing sermon number one. The Lord Jesus encourages us this morning. When trials come and when we feel lonely, when we feel unprotected, when we feel hit and not cared for, that we have a Father in heaven. Isn't that what we profess? I believe in God the Father, Almighty. When things seem to be disturbed and crumble, when things seem to be in a crazy direction, in leading us to desperation, let us be reminded, Maker of heaven and earth, His blessed providence is guiding all things, is protecting the church, is ruling history, is guiding the word. When sin assail us, let us remember, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord. Or when we tend to live our lives centered in ourselves, not caring for our brothers and sisters, let us be reminded, I believe in a holy Catholic Church, in the communion of saints. When we think that this world is going to a terrible direction, let us be reminded, and I believe in the resurrection of the body and in life everlasting. You see, the doctrines that we believe are supposed to be the fuel of our lamp. Do you understand? Just as oil is for a lamp, is only lit because of that oil that is inside them. Christians, you have been receiving combustible every Lord's Day and every time you come to the Word in your private devotions. But the question before us is, what is happening after you do these things? What is happening with you? What happens with you when you leave worship service? Is there change in your life? What happens with you after you close your Bible and you finish your private devotions? Is that being reflected like a lamp in a lampstand to those who surround you, in the way you speak, in the way you address others, in the way you deal with problems? The Lord Jesus reminds us this morning that we are supposed to live the Christian faith in a way that is obvious to everybody surrounding us, like a lamp in a lampstand. We are supposed not to be hearers only, but doers as well. As a commentator put it, he says, the gospel which we possess was not given us only to be admired. The gospel was not only given us to be talked about, not only to be professed, but to be practiced. It was not meant merely to reside in our intellect and memories and tongues, but to be seen in our lives. Oh, let us have that firm in our lives. Let us have that firm in our minds. For this is the command of Christ for us this morning. But let us also be warned. Let us be warned that one day all hypocrisy will be revealed. Again, verse 18, the Lord Jesus reminds us with this terrible threat. False believers, false Christians will be revealed. Perhaps you're hiding yourself today. Perhaps you will be successful through this life to hide your unbelief, to hide your wickedness. But the Lord Jesus says, one day your hypocrisy will be revealed. Either now or in the world to come, your hypocrisy will be revealed. Again, a scholar said, while those who listen to him with believing, surrendered and obedient heart will be given a deeper and more intensive insight into the spiritual life and into His Word, the indifferent, the disobedient ones will lose even the little measure of a spiritual knowledge and joy of life which they possess. Oh, let us be warned, but also encouraged. Let us be warned that all hypocrisy will be revealed, but let us be encouraged that we can learn even more about our great God as we continue to practice what we believe. As we put out to practice in our lives, the more we do, the more we learn. And the more we learn, the more we do. There is this beautiful cycle. If you want to learn more about the Bible, if you want to understand more about God, be a doer of Christ's Word. But if you sit in hypocrisy here this morning, oh, be warned. You will be revealed, says the Lord Jesus. And everyone will see. Either now or in the world to come. Oh, repent of your hypocrisy. If you sit here this morning just listening to Christ's words but disregarding His words in your life, if you couldn't care at all about living it out, about putting your sin to death and using the gospel of Christ and the doctrines we believe to rule your life, to rule your marriage, to rule how you educate your children, to guide how you do business, your hypocrisy will be revealed. The Lord Jesus calls you unto repentance. You see, more than hearing gives us assurance in Jesus' judgment. More than hearing gives us assurance at Jesus' judgment, for then we'll be prepared for it. But as we move on in the text, in verses 19 through 21, we notice that more than hearing also show us membership in His family. That's why we need more than hearing. That's why hearing and doing is absolutely necessary. It grants us assurance at Jesus' judgment, but it also shows us membership in Jesus' family. In verses 19 and 20, we notice that the family of Jesus come to talk to Him. And verses 19 and 20 is really a stone in the shoe of any Roman Catholic scholar. Because if you know anything about Roman Catholicism, you know the belief in the perpetual virginity of Mary. You believe you know that the Papists or the Roman Catholic believe that Mary didn't have a regular human life after the birth of Christ, that she remained a virgin, and that He ascended into heaven in that specific state. Well, but clearly we read in verses 19 and 20 that Jesus had His brothers. Look at the text. It says, "Then His mother and brothers came to Him and could not approach Him because of the crowd." It's obvious that Jesus had a family. Now, perhaps they may argue, well, but the Greek word here that we find in verse 19 is adelphoi, and adelphoi in the Greek could mean a very close relative. Well, that is true. Adelphoi could mean a very close relative. But the only reason anyone would take this reading of this text is if he believes previously in the perpetual virginity of Mary. The only way anyone would approach this text with this in his mind is if he preconditioned the reading of the text with the idea that Mary never had kids apart from the Lord Jesus. A regular reading of the text by anyone would render the reading as we have here clearly in verses 19 and 20. His mother and brothers came to Him. Now notice that they come to Him while Jesus was ministering to a crowd. Look at verse 20. He says, they are standing outside. You notice that? So probably what we have here is the description of the common setting where the Lord Jesus would minister. So He would be in a house teaching people, and the house would be full. That's the reason why they are standing outside. That's the reason why they can't go through the crowd. Remember the paralytic. That's the same thing that happens. The friends bring the paralytic and they can't get to Jesus. What do? They go up and they dig, literally they dig the roof and they have the paralytic come down. The same thing is happening here in this setting. Jesus is in the midst of His ministry while He's teaching, while He is busy in doing the mission that God the Father gave Him to do. His family comes and tries to play perhaps what we could call the family card. The family card. Well, tell Jesus that mom is calling him. Mary wants to talk to him. Do you remember that Mary played that card before? When Jesus stayed behind? And when they go back to Jerusalem, Jesus is there doing what? Busy in the things of His Father. And Mary plays the mom card. We were so worried. We were so concerned. And how does Jesus respond? Both back then and here. Back then, the Lord Jesus says, well, don't you know that I should be busy doing the things of my Father? You see, that shows no disregard for His family. We know that Jesus loved Mary. We who read the Gospel of John, we know that even at the moment of His death, He set aside one specific apostle, John, to take care of His mother. Obviously, the Lord Jesus is holy. He's keeping the fifth commandment. He's honoring His father and His mother. He's honoring His family. But look what comes first. And that's where we reach verse 21. But He answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Now, there are three things I really would like to bring to our attention in verse 21. The first one is that we can be part of God's family. The Lord Jesus makes this astounding, this startling statement that he has mothers and brothers outside of his regular family life. He has mother and brothers who are now part of the family of God, since he himself identifies himself as being the Son of God. What a great privilege. What a phenomenal privilege we have. You see, perhaps you sit here today and you're not very, very happy about your heritage, about your background, where you come from. But the Lord Jesus reminds us this morning that we are brought, we who are in Him, we are hearers and doers of His words, are part of His family. That's really the first thing that verse 21 brings to our mind. It is possible. It is possible to be part of the most important family in the world, the family of God. This is something that was never imagined. You could be a worshiper of God. You could be a servant of God. You could even be a priest of God, but a son of God, a daughter of God, that is unbelievable. That's unthinkable. And that's exactly what Jesus is teaching. Those who are hearers and doers have the privilege of having been adopted. The doctrine of adoption is one of the most blessed doctrines taught to us in the Word of God and recovered by the Reformers. The idea that we are indeed sons and daughters of God, adopted by Him. We are not natural sons, but we are adopted in Christ. Mortal as we are, we become part of the family of He who is immortal and eternal. Sinners as we are now part of the family of He who is absolutely holy. But the second thing I really would like to bring to your attention is that this is the most important family that you could ever have. It's not only possible for you to be part of this family, but this is the most important family, even more important than your blood family, even more important than your blood ties. You see what Jesus is doing here? As He is answering the question, to this specific situation, He's saying, look, family is important. The Lord Jesus is not denying there. But there is a more important tie. It's the family of God. To serve this family. To be in the midst of this family. You see, that is precisely the reason why the Lord Jesus takes this moment, takes the context in which He is in the midst of the ministry, in the midst of teaching, surrounded by a crowd who is hungering and thirsting to hear what He has to say, that He issues this statement. While my family is important, and I will talk to them in a while, this is more important. This is where those who hear and do the Word of God are gathered together. And this is what I came to do. This family has preference. This family is very, very important. But lastly, it is precisely the crux of verse 21. This is not only a blessing, this is not only a privilege to be part of God's family. This is not only the most important family that you could ever be part of, but it's also a practical family. This is a family of doers. Look at the end of the verse again. My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. The first thing you should notice is that the Lord Jesus is addressing His personal crowd. Perhaps your reading in your translation are those who hear the word of God. That's a difference in manuscript. The manuscript the New King James is based on translates this specific pronoun as these. The Lord Jesus seems to be addressing those who are right before Him. These who hear the word of God and do it. These are the ones who are my family. But the reason why they are my family is because they have this family trace. We all do have family traces, don't we? Isn't it wonderful when someone looks at your kid and say, you are a Meyer. You are a Macedo. You are a Runner. You are a Grunhoff. You are a Harzma. Why is that? Because of the family traces. It is impossible not to look and see, whoa, that's someone's son. The family trace, the family birthmark of those who belong to the family of God is hearing and doing God's word. Do you see how both things are coupled? Hearing and doing God's word. Hear is important, but we need to be more than hearers. We need to be hearers and doers of the word of Christ. And that's our birthmark. That's how we look like Him. That's how we can be identified as those who are part of His family. Now, that's not a way into the family. You notice that? It's not because these people began to hear and began to do that they became part of the family. They are doing these things, and what they already have shows that they belong to this family. This identifies the family. It doesn't indicate what's the door into the family. It's not by doing it that you become a family member, but it's because you exhibit these traces that you show you are a family member. Is this your birthmark, Christian? As you sit here this morning, are you showing through your life that you belong to the family of Christ? Let me ask you this again. Are you showing through your life that you're really a member in the family of Christ? How are you hearing Christ? That's the first thing you should be asking to answer this question. How are you hearing the words of Christ? Boys and girls, how are you hearing the preaching of God's word? How are you hearing the devotionals in your home? How are you hearing when a book or when the Bible is read unto you or when the songs of Zion are sang? Adults, how are you hearing God's word being preached? How are you hearing as the word of God is read or you go through your devotionals? Or how are you hearing as you put different sermons in your car to hear it through the day? Are you hearing with faith that this is truly the word of God? Are you hearing in belief, receiving it as the word of God? Are you hearing it in resistance? I don't like what we hear. It hurts me, therefore it's not for me. Are you hearing with reverence, submission, and self-examination? Are you hearing with a repentant spirit? Are you hearing preparation? Are you coming before the worship of God and the preaching of God's word with a prayerful spirit, with a prayerful attitude, so that your heart may be made soft for the sowing of the seed, so that now that your heart received the seed, it may fructify, just as Jesus describes in the parable, that you are going to be ready now to do it. The Lord Jesus says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God. Oh, be careful with how you hear. For that will show you to which family do you belong. But also be careful in how you do it. Look again at the text. These who hear and these who do the word of God, these are my mother and brothers. Christian, how are you doing God's word? Are you busy thinking in how to apply what you hear to your life? Boys and girls, as you hear the preaching of God's word, are you ready to say, to tell your dad today, this morning, as you go back home, as you sit in your lunch table, are you ready to tell him, this is what the sermon was about. This is what I learned about Jesus today. And this is how I'm going to use here in this house, in this home, with my siblings, towards you, my mom, towards you, my dad. Are you ready to do this? Adults, is that how you have been hearing God's word? Ready to do it? Ready to apply it? Or do you constantly think about people who should be listening to this and they are not here today? Isn't that sometimes the terrible attitude of our hearts? Oh, I wish so-and-so was here today. Oh, too bad he was not here to listen to this. And you think these things not for the benefit of someone else's soul, but we think this because we consider that person such a terrible sinner. Are you ready to hear God's word and do it in your own life and apply it into your own heart and seek the change that your King Jesus commands you to pursue? That's how you identify if you are indeed a member in the family of Christ. But as we come to the end of this text, let us also rejoice. Let us rejoice with the grace of adoption. Let us rejoice with the fact that mortal and sinners such as us can be made part of the family of God. You know, the Westminster Shorter Catechism defines adoption in a beautiful way. It says, adoption is an act of God's free grace, whereby we are received into the number of the sons of God, and now we have the rights and privileges of the sons of God. We are received into the number of the sons of God, and we have a right to the privileges of the sons of God. This is the blessed doctrine of adoption. And this has nothing to do with the fact that you do and hear God's word, but you do and hear God's word because He has brought you into His family first. Because this is a product of God's free grace, as the Westminster theologians would say. Adoption is an act of God's free grace. It is because He has brought you unto His feet. It is because He has brought you unto His presence. It is because He has opened your ears so that you may hear His words being proclaimed and preached. That's all product of grace. Oh, let us rejoice. And let us be firm in the purpose to honor this family, the family of Christ, by being both hearers and doers. To be more than hearers gives us assurance at Jesus' judgment and shows membership in Jesus' family. Dear brothers and sisters, regardless of our age, we are all part of this school of Christ, aren't we? Regardless if we are homeschoolers or Christian schoolers or already schooled and we have all our degrees done and we are now in the school of life, we are all, regardless of our age and stage, we are all in Christ's school. Let us be attentive hearers. Let us be careful hearers. Let us be submissive and reverent hearers, but let us also be doers, fervent doers, diligent doers, desiring doers, for the Lord Jesus requires us to be more than hearers, and as we are, it gives us great assurance in Jesus' judgment and shows membership now in Jesus' family. Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, we thank You for Your word. What a challenge, King Jesus, You placed before us this morning. And we come before You with contrite hearts. Contrite hearts because of Your amazing grace to have made of us mortals and sinners sons of the Almighty. For having brought us unto Your family, O Lord, we present ourselves before You with gratitude and adoration and praise for this great demonstration of mercy and grace given unto us. And now, Father, we come before You pleading with You that the signs of our adoption may be present in our lives. Just like a light, just like a lamp in the lampstand, O Lord, we pray that that would be our lives as well. From young to old, from boys and girls to adults, Father, we pray that we would be not only hearers, articulated in doctrine, knowledgeable in theology, but Father, we pray, help us to live according to what we know. Help us to abandon hypocrisy. Help us, O Lord, to usefully use all the doctrines we have learned with the ears so that we may put to death sins in our life and have our lives changed and transformed for that what we believe. Help us in this, O Lord, for without Your Spirit we can't do it. But as You call us to do it, we pray. Give us the strength, give us the will, give us the desire to be not only hearers, but also doers of Christ's word. Rid us from the excuses. Dress us with the desire and the will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.